Well, why don't we turn to our Bibles right now to give you something here from Daniel chapter 2 that I pray will be a great encouragement to you tonight. Daniel chapter 2. You know, Daniel chapter 2, what's happened is that the king, Nebuchadnezzar, has had a dream. And he doesn't know the dream. And certainly then he doesn't know the interpretation of the dream because he can't remember it. And nobody, none of his soothsayers, none of his magicians, none of his wise men are able to give him the dream and therefore are not able to give him the interpretation. So he gets mad and he wants to kill all of them, including Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When Daniel finds out about it, he's like, oh, you know, tell the king to hold off. We'll talk to God and I think maybe we can get the dream together for him and give him the revelation. And He gets it, and we're going to begin in verse 27 tonight in Daniel chapter 2, and our text is in Daniel chapter 2, verse 28. Chapter 2, verse 27. In the context of Daniel chapter 2, Daniel is now in the presence of King Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar is awaiting an interpretation for the dream that he had, that he had forgotten. In verse 27, Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king." Verse 28, "But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these." And then he goes in to tell him what the dream is and to tell him what the interpretation of the dream is. Verse 28 says, "But there is a God in heaven." There is a God in heaven. You know, when Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, prayed, the Lord revealed the secret to Daniel that none of these other men could get. No wise man, no astrologer, no soothsayer, no magician, nobody could get this. Nebuchadnezzar could not remember it. And God revealed the dream and the interpretation of the dream to Daniel. He did something that only God in heaven could do. There's no other person in the entire universe that could do what was done that day. No man-made God, no human being, only God in heaven. There is a God in heaven. You know, not only did he remind Nebuchadnezzar what the dream was, but he gave the interpretation which even to this day has been helpful to us because he revealed what we now understand to be the Gentile rulers, world rulers, that take you all the way to the Antichrist. We look for the fullness of the Gentiles to be come in so all Israel can be saved. And all of that came from God to Daniel and from Daniel to Nebuchadnezzar. All right, so you understand what happened. And, you know, people talk and you read about, well, we all serve the same God. And, you know, they may call the God by a different name and all that, but generally it's still the same person. Don't ever be confused by that. You have a God in heaven, and he is the only one. And there is none else. And he's not like any of the other gods of any of the other religions that have been made by man. There is a God in heaven. And because our God, the one we worship, is in heaven, there are certain things that we then understand about our relationship with Him that you can only have when you have a relationship with God in heaven. And the first of those is He secures your salvation. I suppose everybody here tonight, looking around, has an excellent testimony of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't scratch our heads and wonder if we're dealing with anybody here tonight who's saved, not real sure about your testimony. No, there's great evidence of the work of the Spirit of God in the life of every person that's here tonight. May I tell you something? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. You don't ever have to worry. You don't ever have to worry, and I'm sure you don't, not at this point, but you don't ever have to worry about losing that salvation that He gave you. You know why? Because He's a God in heaven. Not one down here. He's a God in heaven. There is a God in heaven. He secures your salvation. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And hath, he did this, you didn't, hath raised us up together and made us sit together where? In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So your God is in heaven and you are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus with our God that's in heaven. That is a wonderful thing. You know, when people began to debate eternal security early on when I came to trust the Lord, I was looking for every verse in the Bible that seemed to say you couldn't lose your salvation, like no man shall pluck him out of my hand. They shall never perish. He's passed from death unto life. You know, these things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God that you may know that you have eternal life. Well, when you take those and you discuss them with somebody else who doesn't believe in eternal security, well, they go find all the verses in the Bible that seem to teach you can lose your salvation. You've done that before. You've seen that before. You know what it is? It is an endless argument. Because you know you're right and they don't know they're wrong. But the truth of the matter is, when you get to a verse like Ephesians 2:6 and you find out that you're already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, you're not worried about getting there when you die. You're already there. And you know why? Because your God is in heaven. There is a God in heaven. And thank God tonight we are with our God in heaven. If any circumstance were to come in your life at any sudden moment, you do not have to worry about going up there when you die. All you got to do is worry about dropping this robe of flesh so that you are aware of your presence in Christ Jesus before the throne of grace. What a wonderful thing. All right, but there is a God in heaven, Daniel said. And so not only does He secure our salvation, but He also secures your treasure laid up above. Matthew chapter 6. I really think, you know, and it hasn't happened yet, and I'm thankful that it hasn't yet, but I really think that you're going to face worse economic hardships. Let me put it that way. Don't you sense that? And right now, with the stock market being high and interest rates going up and portfolios doing pretty well, there's sort of a false sense of security. May I tell you, you have no security in earthly treasure. If you've got it, I'm glad you've got it. I'm glad you can pay your bills. I'm glad I've got it. I'm glad I can pay my bills. But there's no security in that, right? But more there is with anything you've put in the hands of the Lord. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven. Where your God is. You don't have to worry about Brinks. Isn't that the armed service company? And you don't have to worry about social security. You got God. And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. God's got his eye on it, and he'll take care of it for you. I'm still reminded, I repeat this often, but when that rich ruler came to Jesus Christ and said, "What good thing must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus said to him after their discussion, you know all that stuff you got? Just go sell it and give it to the poor. You come follow me, and you will have treasure in heaven and the eternal life that he was looking for. Well, that guy, because he didn't want to let go of the treasure that he had in the earth, walked away from the offer. When he died, he didn't have eternal life, and he didn't have the treasure. He lost everything. So don't feel bad if along the way you get an impulse to do something, a generous impulse to do something for God. Because when you do, it's secure. Because your God's in heaven. Your God is in heaven. Our God is in heaven. There is a God in heaven. He secures your salvation. He secures your treasure laid up above. I'll show you something else. Romans chapter 8, verse 33. Romans chapter 8. Show you something else about the fact that he's above. Romans chapter 8, verse 33. He secures your salvation. He secures your treasure laid up above. He assures his love for you because he's up there. There's nobody bigger than God. In verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? That's the question. And shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? You and I could literally go through any of those things, and Christians from the time of the resurrection of Jesus Christ till now, some have gone through these things. Verse 36, as it is written, for thy sake are we killed all the day long and are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. You know, we haven't, as Christians in this country and particularly in this city, really suffered any persecution. But do you know, the closer we get to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ and the closer we get to the rapture, you may be seriously called into account for your faith in Christ and seriously threatened with some sort of thing like this that you're reading here. And that might cause you to waver some in your relationship with Christ, because you and I have had it exceedingly good, have we not? Nay, he says in verse 37, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Why? I am persuaded that neither death, all right, he's already beat death, nor life, while he has eternal life, nor angels, he's bigger than them, he created them. Nor principalities, he's more powerful than they are. He's got more authority than they do. Nor powers, nor things present, because he's here right now. Nor things to come, because he's already been beyond that. Nor height, anything above you, he's bigger than that. Nor depth, he's been there too. Nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You may be tempted by the devil sometime to think that God doesn't love you as much as he does. But just be reminded of this. Our God is in heaven, right? And there is nothing that you have read in that little passage of Scripture that can challenge him at that throne and in that position of authority and change his attitude toward you. He loves you. He does. He does. You are his child. You say, yeah, but you know, there are times when I mess up. Welcome to the crowd. Right? The faithful fail. Just don't become a failure. A just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. Why? Because our God in heaven understands what it is down here. He's not challenged with this, but his son lived down here. He was challenged with all this stuff we're going to be challenged with or are challenged with, and he never broke off his love for his son. He's never going to break off his love for you. It's just the way he is. Thank God for that. Even when he has to chasten you, he's demonstrating his love to you. So he assures his love for you. And I'll show you one other thing, Hebrews chapter 13. We keep talking about our God way up there in heaven, right? Hebrews chapter 13. And I'm glad he's up there because there's nobody bigger and badder than he is. And by that I mean he's not bad, but he's badder in the sense that there ain't nobody bad enough to challenge him. The devil's no match. Circumstances in life, no match. He will never break off his love for you. He will always secure your treasure, always secure your salvation. And then this right here in Hebrews chapter 13, though he is that far above, verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's up there. But when you need him, you got to remember he's also down here. You read about that episode with Daniel. And Daniel gave that dream and he gave the interpretation of the dream. And Nebuchadnezzar was excited and Daniel was, he worshipped him, you know, and he made him, you know, promoted him. And then Daniel said, well, promote Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they got a promotion and everything was rocking around. And then Nebuchadnezzar got proud, made that image. And he said, everybody's going to worship that image, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are not going to worship that image. And he says, that furnace right there is for you. And they heat it up seven times more than it was wont to be heated. And it got so hot, the mighty men that threw them in there burned up before they even got to the mouth of the furnace. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego get in there, and they are freed, and they're walking around in there with whom? God. Right? The Son of God. God manifested himself. He was right there with him. He said, yeah, but he's our God in heaven. Yes, that's what Daniel said, but he condescends to men of low degree. And he's right here with us tonight. And I'm thankful for that because he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And you know what that means? That means never. He's right here. I am so thankful. You know, that we don't have a wishy-washy God that we have to appease with ritualistic, religious, right, sacrifices and behavior. And always wondering whether we're, you know, he loves me, loves me not. When I grew up with that stuff in the Catholic Church, I was always feeling bad about not being good enough. Anybody else grow up with that? Always plagued by that. You know what? You never have to be plagued by that with your God. He loves you, and he's right here with you at all times. I've watched people, and I'm not encouraging you tonight with this to go get backslidden so you can put this to the test. But I've seen people, and I've been there, they got so backslidden you thought there's no way in the world I could ever get back right with God. And they get right with God, and that love of God just and that presence of God and that security, that salvation just brings them back into a relationship. And I'm telling you, 2 or 3 years after recovering from a bad detour into sin, you would never know they ever took that detour. And you know why? It's because of the confidence and the security, that salvation, the love that he has for us and his presence here. He just in his long suffering and in his forbearance and in his mercy and in his grace, he just, because he's a God in heaven. He's bigger than all those fickle gods of men. Now, thank God that's our God. He's a good one, isn't he? The best there ever was and the best there ever is. Father, thank you tonight for just a little something to encourage us in our relationship with you. A lot of times we, on Wednesday nights, want to deal with things dealing with prayer or perhaps things in our relationship with you. And tonight is just good to really brag on you and be reminded just how loving, just how present, just how faithful you are to the promises you've given us in the Scripture. Help us to remember. I pray that when we sleep tonight or wake up in the morning, it comes right back to our mind. But there is a God in heaven. And Father, when we face circumstances that become so overwhelming that they distress us and we're just overwhelmed by the things that are right here in front of us, I pray that what you preach to us tonight will come rushing back into encourage our spirits, rushing back into our minds to remind us, but there is a God in heaven. And with a God like that, you'll get us through those kinds of things. And we appreciate it tonight, Father, to be reminded of your presence in our lives and our presence there with you. We ask you now to encourage us by these words for Jesus' sake. Amen.